This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. When Jamaica Kincaid was growing up in Antigua, she never dreamed of moving to the United States. But in the 1960s, when she was still a teenager, she came here to work as a nanny. Before too long, her short stories were getting published in places like the Paris Review and the New Yorker. Kincaid's work has often dealt with her difficult Caribbean upbringing, but her new novel, See Now Then, is set in Vermont, in North Bennington, the town where Kincaid has lived for many years. It's the story of Mrs. Sweet, a mother with two children in a difficult marriage that has gone very sour. Jamaica Kincaid, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you.
So before we talk, I'd love to give the listeners a taste of the book. If you could read from the opening chapter.
All right, here I go. All that was visible to Mrs. Sweet as she stood at the window, but so much was not visible to her then as it lay before her, all clear and still, as if trapped on a canvas, enclosed in a rectangle made up of dead branches of Betula nigra. And she could not see it and could not understand it even if she could see it. Her husband, the dear Mr. Sweet, hated her very much. He so often wished her dead. He loved Shostakovich, and as he played the music written by this man, The Oath to the People's Commissar, Song of the Forest, 8 Preludes for Piano, and he wept as he played, pouring all of his feelings of despair into that music, imagining that his life, his precious life, was being spent with that dreadful woman, his wife, the dear Mrs. Sweet, who loved making 3 courses of French food for her small children, and loved their company, and she loved gardens, and he was least worthy of her love, for he was such a small man. Sometimes people mistook him for a rodent.
That was Jamaica Kincaid reading from her new novel, See Now Then. So the protagonist, Mrs. Sweet, grew up in, quote, a paradise of persistent sunshine and pleasant weather. She's married to this not super successful composer. They have 2 children. They live in Bennington, Vermont. She gardens. Their marriage is dissolving. Are there any major particulars that aren't the same as your actual life?
I wasn't thinking of myself. I was thinking of
really?
All sorts of larger things. Yeah. You know, it took me a very long time to write this. If you're going to write about your own self, it doesn't take you as long as it
right.
took me
but
to write this book.
But those major particulars I mentioned, I mean, you are inviting idiots like me to say, wow, this sounds like your life, Jamaica.
No, I wasn't inviting you to say that at all, but you must feel free to offer yourself that invitation.
Okay. You have them living in the Shirley Jackson house.
Yes.
Shirley Jackson, the, I don't know what you call her, the horror writer, the interesting fiction writer, lived in Bennington where you live. Was that done? Did you do that to just to sort of glancingly cast some sense of creepy doom over this project?
Oh, not at all. She's an exquisite writer, and I was thinking of her for all sorts of reasons. The Shirley Jackson house, just weighing it within the sentences, it was the right thing to do. Finally, I began to think, I want to pay tribute to Shirley Jackson. The way, for instance, I will wear a lot of glittery, cheap rings on my fingers, you know,
mm-hmm.
and people will say, well, why do you do that? And I will say, and this is really true, that I am trying to pay tribute to Lil' Kim, because I feel Lil' Kim is also in danger of being forgotten.
You may be the first person to simultaneously pay tribute to Shirley Jackson and Lil' Kim.
I think they would like each other very much.
Your prose is beautiful and poetic and fragrant and a little otherworldly, but you then are also, among other things, so ruthlessly, shockingly unsentimental sometimes. Just sort of glancingly and repeatedly say of Mr. Sweet about Mrs. Sweet, he never loved her, he hated everything about her, he didn't want the children. And that seems to be very you as a writer.
It's possible that it's rooted or influenced by the place I spent my forming years, which was incredibly beautiful and sometimes described as paradise, Edenic, but in which some rather brutal things happen in the world after 1492.
And this Eden, this paradise full of brutality, you hightailed it out of there at 16 and came to the United States. How come you left? How come you were so eager to get out?
I was sent away from my home because my family fell into a state of poverty that they hadn't really counted on. We were always poor, but then we became really desperate because my stepfather got sick and my brother was born. And so it seemed that the thing to do would be to send the oldest child, the eldest of us, me, away so that I would work and send my wages home to support my family. And I was sent to the United States to be a servant, which threw me into a state I didn't know there was a word for, depression. And I didn't know what it was. I just thought I lived in a black cloud. Anyway, one thing led to the other, and I started to write, and it was published.
So the forced exile in that case worked out well, because when I arrived in New York as a young person, as a 22-year-old, I remember one of the most exciting parties I was invited to was the excitement of it was that the it girl of the New Yorker, Jamaica Kincaid, will be there. So how did you suddenly become this star in your 20s after having been deported essentially to the United States to be a servant?
My goodness, this is news to me that I was.
I swear.
I knew these very interesting men, George Tro. George took me everywhere with him. I was sort of his little sister or something or whatever, but he loved me very much and I loved him. I remember George saying to me one day, I'd said something and he laughed, and he was the first person to tell me that I could be funny. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. You mean you can be funny and it can be, you can make a living being funny? The next thing he said is, would you like to meet Mr. Sean? And I had no idea who Mr. Sean was. I said, sure. And so I met Mr. Sean. Mr. Sean said I could write something.
For the New Yorker.
He was,
of course, the sainted editor of the New Yorker.
That's right. And I wrote something, and I thought he would have George rewrite it. And instead, he published it just the way I gave it to him. And that's how I knew what writing was, how I came to know what my own writing was or could be. And that was it. And it was George who told me to say this, because I began to be a contributor to the New Yorker. And the New Yorker then had all these wonderful women who'd gone to Vassar and Radcliffe and so on, and it had them working as secretaries or receptionists. And they were all just sort of mystified that I was this young black woman with bleached blonde hair, and I wore funny clothes, and, you know, I was sort of odd and sort of rigorously stylish. I just believed in being completely stylish. And they would say to me, how did you get your job at the New Yorker? And how did you get your job here? And I would painfully go through, well, you see, I met George and da, 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 da. And they would say, no, how did you get your job? And I told this to George, and he said, oh, just tell them your father owns the magazine. And when I did, they stopped asking. They really believed my father owned the magazine.
Well, and then, oddly, as if life was imitating that fiction, you married the son of the editor of the magazine.
I did, but I never changed my name. That I had already changed my name.
From Elaine Richardson to Jamaica Kincaid.
Yes, yes, yes.
So before I let you get out of here, I want to play a bit of your beloved Lil' Kim. What's your favorite Lil' Kim song?
Oh, The Jump Off. Oh, gosh, the children and I used to watch, especially my son and I used to watch MTV Jams. This was in the long after she was really popular, but this song. Uh-huh. But I'd always liked her. And then that song was just, there was something about the way she sings it where she goes, woo! She just said, it's just so fun. And so forever, I really think a little monument should be built to her.
Well, now we've done one. We've created your little monument to her.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jamaica Kincaid, thank you very much. I could do this every day, but and I wouldn't say that of many people I talk to.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Jamaica Kincaid's new novel, See Now Then, is out right now.